Welcome to The Creatives. I'm your host, Dana Porches. In this podcast, I get to interview wonderfully interesting people about what they do, what drives them, and how their creativity helps make the world a better place. This episode, my guest is Melanie Dado. Melanie Dado Stamler is the epitome of the bohemian California lifestyle. She is the founder of Bus Shop, a traveling boho boutique on wheels. The smile is real. The life story is sincere. A simple philosophy of doing good things. Being positive comes natural, even through adversity. We get to share the love of community, the artists she promotes, and the sense of peace she likes to add to this crazy world we live in. Plus, she can really dress you up for the party. Melanie, you are a totally creative person, and that's why it's really we're really happy to have you on The Creatives, because you come at this time that we're in from a totally different perspective. Did you miss going to Burning Man this year?
Tremendously. It broke my heart. It broke my heart to not be able to attend that gathering because of all the art that was in the works. That's one of my favorite things about Burning Man. And I'm no expert, but I've gone 8 years in a row, and it's become a beautiful outlet for artists to express themselves. And, you know, there's a misnomer or a misconception about Burning Man in and of itself. I think sometimes people associate it with things that, you know, are just a little out there on the edge. But to have 300 or 400 artists presenting their masterpieces in the middle of the desert when you're free. There's no commerce. It's completely against the norm.
It's art for art's sake.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I really did miss it. I was heartbroken.
Some of your best experiences there.
Well, interestingly, you know, David Best, you know, mastermind behind the temples, it created these amazing homes for people to grieve. And those moments were probably the most spectacular moments, being able to, I'm even choking up a little bit
That's
to think
right.
about it.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to let go of, you know, and accept death and let it move through me. And that temple is a place for people to grieve. And it was probably the most profound sense of solace that I could get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being there.
Isn't that funny how we focus on the fact that we don't even know anything about death?
Don't we, though?
Yeah.
I think we're all living to die, and we don't want to believe that. Our days are numbered, and you know, if we can just make the best of what we have and the time before us, moments that you can't get back.
Well, I've been having that conversation with my own children right now because I'm going in for a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time, it's a coin flip. Yeah. And so my kids are a little older, and I have a will and stuff. And I said, so what do you guys want? And they're like, Dad, you already taught us that it's all just stuff. We want to hold on to the memories. And I think he got it best that you're able to let yourself go and let those moments go if you're able to grieve. And that you don't go away from that moment with a burden, because the living is not supposed to be a burden to the past or the loss of somebody. You can elevate yourself in that thought.
Well, if you're holding on to the past or you're looking to the future, you're not living in the moment. And I think the point of life is to live in the moment without all these distractions, you know, and to be present.
Yeah.
And that really is the best gift.
Well, I'm glad to have you present here, because The Creatives is about people like yourself that move in and around art and creative people. And you really focused well on that creative part. We're at Burning Man, and I'm glad we got that into the conversation. What is a goddess? Because I love how you embody that, and many people identify you in the community as not just a seller of wares, Bus Shop goddess, but you really embrace the feminine, and you raise it to a level of respect. And I respect you for that. But as a man, I don't always understand that. And maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, you know, many, many years ago, I don't even remember exactly where I was, but I was on a beautiful lake. And we were moving through, it was a river. It was a river, and we were like paddling or kayaking or in a canoe of sorts. It was a long time ago, and I was a lot younger. I think it was college. And there was a bunch of us, you know, enjoying a beautiful summer afternoon. And I was a lot younger, and, you know, life was good. Life is still good. Yeah. And this one guy next to me, he caught, you know, sight of this beautiful woman, and he goes, "Oh my God, what a goddess." And I was starstruck. I was starstruck by his comment that he just thought she was the, you know, apple of his eye, just some random beautiful goddess. And I went like, wow, that caught his attention, you know, yeah. And it stuck with me. But over the years, as I've matured and evolved, I think that my changed perspective about living is just being true to yourself and being and using the gifts that God gave you. Mm-hmm. And I think our whole life we're trying to figure out our purpose and I know a lot of people that are always questioning, you know, God, what am I doing with my life? Is this the right job for me? I'm, you know, it's about you need to make money, but you also, I think success is enjoying what you do. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think it's all about the money. I mean, there's a book that says, do what you love and the money will follow. And my degree in college was twofold. I had a degree in art. I spent a lot of time in the art department, and I also had a kinesiology major. So I was athletic, and I was, you know, biomechanics and study of movement, and, you know, it just was interesting. But I always have, you know, toyed with which direction to go, and I've gone in both. I've spent a lot of time in the corporate world. I used to work in the medical field, and it was very interesting. I worked in plastic surgery for almost 20 years, and I was able to incorporate my artistic, you know, capabilities into and integrate them into the medical field. I did medical photography and computer imaging, and I worked with a world-renowned plastic surgeon who's no longer with us, and he was a ear, nose, and throat specialist. And I was young. I just graduated from college. And I remember going in for this interview and I was so nervous. It was like, you know, you finally graduate and you finally, here's the big job, you know. And I got the job. I went in and there was all these women, you know, people sitting there going, it was a computer graphics technician position. And my job was to, you know, photograph and greet a patient when they were inquiring about a facial surgery, and I would emulate the surgical outcome based on the results that I was seeing from the physician. And so we were a team, you know. It was really great, and I was able to, you know, use this great program. And so, again, being able to utilize your strengths and understanding what those are and tapping into it. And so that's always been my goal. And, you know, even coming back to today, it's interesting. It's a very big full circle, how we navigate through life and we do, you know, all the jobs that one thing leads to another. Mm-hmm. And our growth from that position leads us to another and another and another. And it's looking back, it's like everything that I'm doing or I've done relied on the thing that I did before it. And it's all amazing.
You've always been creative, obviously. So this full circle that you talk about from the beginning to maybe some of the places and stops along the way that have really brought you to where you are today, because you're very happy with self. And that's an important thing to have gone through. It's not always been a happy life.
I was always, you know, the people pleaser kid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never made a rough. You know, I was just kept going. I was good student. I was, you know, athletics was my drug. I was addicted to athletics. I was a softball player And it was my outlet, you know? And so family life was, my mom and dad, you know, were divorced. And so that was a quiet home because my mom was always working. And then I was the youngest, and my older brother and sister, you know, they were trying to shelter me from the world. And so, you know,
good luck.
And so, you know, they were trying to protect me from being growing up too soon. And I did, I grew up too soon. I did. I was very independent at a very young age.
Did sports keep you all together though?
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was a good outlet creatively and being part of a team. And that kind of gave me my sense of community and belonging, you know, playing athletics.
The competitive part didn't harm you, or is that something that strengthened you?
You know, I think competition drives, you know, creativity.
Yeah.
I think I've always aspired to be better, and I emulate, you know, I have heroes and role models that I look up to. And if I can be as good as them, or it would just make me work harder. I mean, practice would be over and I'd beg the coach to hit me 20 more balls. Mm-hmm. Come on. And he's like, stop, you know, stop now. Take a break.
Yeah.
You know, and I just always, I just keep going.
Why the direction in college and the split majors, which we always had? What drove you to that? Because, you know, going through your teen years and then becoming a young adult and then making that choice, it's almost like, you know, we live our lives in thirds. In that first third, maybe wrap up that third for us, for you, and where it went after school.
The first third or the last third?
let's go the first third, because the last third, that's going to be a good long story.
Yeah. Well, my mother is very creative and my grandmother is very creative. And so just when we would stay, you know, they'd watch us on the weekends, or, you know, we'd be babysat. And my grandmother, she's still alive. Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
102.
Wow.
She's 102. And, you know, she was very artistic. She would do needlepoint. And, you know, we'd go to her house and she would collect these, like, we used to buy those, remember the CDs, the Columbia House, or was it what you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, her
Time Life.
Whatever, you get all the CDs in the mail. Well, she had some entity where she would purchase these prepackaged kits of, you know, crafts. And she'd say, go to the closet and pick something. That's what you're going to do today.
Yeah.
And it would just a treasure trove. Open the door and we're like, oh my God. It would be anything, something paint by numbers. You know, those are classics now.
You know,
and it would be amazing by the time you finished and you're just like, oh my God, I'm painting this. And it's, you know, minuscule, but then in the bigger scope at the end, it's like glorious. But she would just let us, and that was, we'd always get to pick. We couldn't wait to go and open up the closet door, and it was just overflowing with things to do. And so that would be something we'd do. I look forward to that.
So it's in your genes.
My mother is amazing too. She sews, and she you know, just, she makes jewelry, and, you know, I'd be watching her my whole life, you know, make at the dinner table, there'd be something out and she's in the middle of it. And she married Bob, my stepdad. He was a butcher, and he brought home beef bones and got some dental drills, and he started carving beef bones and made jewelry, and it was called Wishbone Works.
Yeah.
And so in the summers, he would hire me to help him as assisting in the making jewelry in the garage. And I just thought, that's great. This is good stuff right here, you know? And so I just always had that creative interest. And so I dabbled in painting, you know, in the art department. We got to do all kinds of, every facet of art available. And it was, you know, I realized that I wasn't exceptional, but I was good. I had good spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, moved. I love photography these days. That's kind of the path that's been wonderful for me to explore.
Well, your Instagram posts are wonderful. So you definitely have a good photographic eye. I got to tell you, I enjoy going to your posts.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, they're composed very well.
Well, you know, and that's all part of it. You know, I've done a lot of marketing over the years, just, you know, professionally for different corporations and, you know, in the corporate world. And I found that to be like dry, and it was hard to market something that I wasn't really passionate about. So I feel like, you know, I do a lot of graphic design, not as much lately because there's not a lot of events to market, but except my own, which is just ideal.
So you refocused. For the listeners, you have an actual bus that I've seen you over the years. You pull up to different festivals, and we don't have those going on now, but your bus is a magnet for women when you go to these different festivals around this whole North Carolina, North California area, Carolina. Oh my, I'm on the wrong coast. And it's really been a magnet, and I've watched how wonderful that space is. So maybe, how did that idea come about? Because it's not for everybody to travel around and do that bohemian thing that you do. And then we'll talk about that actual industry and what's going on with it.
Sure.
But first, your bus, the traveling bus.
It's amazing. I never, ever expected it to take off. Well, you know, of course, I put everything into it. So I knew that I wasn't afraid of trying something different. And, you know, kind of following up on, you know, I started to become very creative, you know, I started to make some jewelry. I was working in the medical field, and that was awesome. And I would make jewelry, and then these women coming in to have procedures, they enjoyed jewels. So I would have, like, open up my coat and go, hey, you know, check this out, you know, because we had a great rapport with everybody. We were, yeah, you know, we became like family. When someone's going through a procedure, you meet them before, you talk about the plan, they actually have the surgery, and then they go through, you know, the recovery. So you spend a lot of time with people in the course of their care,
yeah,
and you build relationships with these people. And one woman, she would come in just loaded with this jewelry, and I was like, oh my God. And she was so sweet. And so one time she was having a little procedure, and she's like, you know, on the sly, we didn't make too big of a deal about it. I was there to do my job,
yeah,
you know, but I could do some, I could multitask. And she actually, God bless her, she had a bag. She brought in all her necklaces from this amazing artist who I aspired to, you know, emulate my work. Like, it just, it drew me in. And I remember the woman was going in for her procedure, and I sat there and I was looking at all the jewelry going like, oh my God. It was wire wrapped jewelry, you know, with semi precious stones and sterling silver, you know, kind of like what I'm wearing today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I've kind of created my own unique style. It's called the M Collection jewelry line. So with that, I just kept going with it. It was working. I was selling stuff on the side. And then the doctors saw that, you know, everybody was the buzz. Ooh, just see Melanie's jewelry. And they're like, why don't you bring in? We'll do a little pop-up. And so I'd bring in I had a picture frame that I, you know, covered and hung all the jewelry on, and I killed it. I was like, dang, people like this. And I thought, oh, now I'm getting cocky. I'm going to quit my job. Isn't that where it always starts, you know?
Yeah.
And of course I didn't. And I realized, well, maybe I should do some, you know, some little festivals. So I started doing little weekend events, and I started selling my goods, my jewelry. And it was going very well. And then, of course, you know, one thing led to another. And I, you know, I kind of got too big for my britches again. And I thought, well, I need a store.
Real estate.
Yeah. And that, you know, that was such a fun ride, having Starstruck for 10 years. Downtown Petaluma on Kentucky.
Yeah.
Great run. I mean, just beautiful times. And I incorporated art. It was Starstruck Boutique and Gallery of Art officially.
Mm-hmm.
And I piggybacked on the other artists' galleries in town. And they had those art walks. Remember back in the day, it was like the second Friday or third Friday or whatever
it was.
What
number were you?
I was the underdog.
Oh.
And I, you know, they would, you know, they'd have the Kincaids, and they'd be showcasing you know, really great. I mean, between the combination of all the galleries in town, I really think we covered a lot of ground. Yeah. And I would go for people that were less known but very talented. And people were just waiting to get, like, I had it, you know, scheduled out. Oh, I have something next December. You know, and, you know, keep my file.
So you treated it like a business, but you're still involved in the arts.
Oh, I curated.
At the same time.
I intentionally curated exhibits and then made soirees around them, And so I would be capitalizing on, you know, having amazing art in my store for free.
When you talk about a 10-year run, when you talk about a 10-year run, that's a 10-year run of history. How have you seen it evolve? And then when did you get the bus?
Well, I closed the store and I was working on creating an online presence. It was right before the, on the heels, you know, of all this new online. So I was, there I was again, ready to go, something new. And so I was going to launch the site. And then, of course, you know, Craig passed like 3 days before we were supposed to launch. And it was only 8 weeks after I closed the store. So everything was upside down.
Your partnership was very strong for you.
Yeah, he was a wonderful man. Yeah. He was just unlike anybody, you know, plenty of great people. He was just the love. He was the love of my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was blessed to, you know, have that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to make a change of plans. Here we go again. That's all life does is throw you curveballs. And
but you were a softball player. You could take one. Yeah. Obviously, you took them blowing inside and sent it.
Oh, my God.
So you sent it after Craig.
Ugh.
And you didn't stop.
Well, it was survival mode.
Yeah.
I had to keep going. And what did I know best? You know, I knew, you know, in anything I've ever done, I've always, it's always about having a rapport with people.
Yeah.
And you can do anything. If you like people, I think life's easy. And if you don't like people, then I think life's going to be hard. I mean, you can walk down the street and you could be looking down and, you know, not catch eyes with anybody. And that walk's going to be long and grueling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you look up and you smile, you're going to get a smile back, you know?
It's true.
And so I like people. I like people. And I think, you know, I think people are easy to get along with.
What do you do with people you don't like?
Well, I don't think there's too many people that I don't like.
Yeah. You know, I think you bring out the best in people.
You know, people are having a bad day. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But if you're a jerk a couple times, then maybe, you know, we're not going to be hanging out much. You know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's your choice.
So no jerks on your bus.
No. You know, it's just interesting. So I started doing the farmers markets and then I got the store and then all that happened with Craig.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to go online and I, you know, had this whole branded business name and it just wasn't working. It was so like, stop right there. Let's just regroup for a second. And so I decided that I had my eye on a Shasta, a 20-foot Shasta trailer with the wings. And I was going to tow it around and kind of do this vintage thing. And thank God, I you know, towing's a little more, you know, it's easier to drive something.
Backing up a trailer is the opposite of, it's really
it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And so I ended up finding this bus on Craigslist. And I wasn't looking for a bus, but there it was. And ends up, it was a friend of my brother's. And my brother's into cars and our whole life. He's always been redoing cars, hot rods. He's got a Vette. So I watched him tinker with cars. So I wasn't afraid to get my hands dirty, you know.
You had a mechanic in your back pocket.
Well, so I find this bus and with a lot of help from a lot of my friends who were probably more willing to help me at that point in my life than ever. A lot of them were like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, gee.
You know, I this one friend of mine, Noel, he was actually building a fence at our house after Craig passed. And the first thing I did is like, we need to barricade the property, get it a little more safe. You know, I need to feel like I had a fence that was like 5 feet. People could walk, you know, and I'm like, this is so not good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was over there doing some work and tightening things up and just making it a little more safe for me, feeling, you know. And I said, hey, you want to stop what you're doing? I got a little project. And he was the one, he was like, I don't know. You know. And so I had him put hardwood floors in the bus. We, you know, pulled all the seats out. We gutted it.
Yeah.
We gutted it and opened it up. And it's amazing how wide open it is in there. And I just put clothing on one on the left side, all the way down the left side, and tucked in cubbies on the right and, you know, maximized my space. We put in a dressing room behind the driver's seat, swanked it out. It's really got a cool crimson vibe.
It's cool, yeah.
It's just really, you walk in, you just can't believe it.
Yeah.
You can't believe it. You're like, what?
It's not gypsy, but it's kind of...
Well, I'm older now, too, so I had to be careful. I was older. This is my second part of my life. You know, it's been 8 years doing this, and I'm older now. So I definitely didn't want a pink bus.
Well, this is a second third. We're not going to talk about your third third, okay? We're gonna keep you in that realm of young and...
Young at heart. I'm young at heart. I'm, you know, thank God I got the energy. I do. I feel like if anybody could do it, you know, I've done enough retail in my life and really good at spatial organization.
How do you learn about the vintage? Because I wore, specifically for you today, I wore a vintage Versace.
Oh, my God.
So you're not going to take it and you're not going to resell it. It's hard enough to find this kind of stuff. And you know about it. And I got to tell people, when you go to one of your shows, you are dressed in vintage.
Well,
at least one piece here and there.
I do. I'm eclectic, you know. I like to mix and match. And, you know, my daughter, she's seen me dress up more and she'll just roll her eyes like, oh, God, Mom. No, and I'm like, yeah, you know, back up.
I think she's jealous.
Watch me.
Yeah, watch
and,
out.
You know, it's like I can. And I like dressing up. And that's really been a hard part about this year is that I can't. It's with what's going on in this current state of affairs.
Right.
It's difficult. You know, everybody's dressing differently. Everybody's dressing way more casually. More easy. There's no events to go to that require that type of dressing.
We're all recycling the same clothes we've had in our closets because we're not going out shopping. Although people are buying online. You just hit on something and I just... So you said they're dressing casual. Is there any kind of style that we could call COVID style? I mean, what are people wearing?
I think anything goes. And I just think people just need to be comfortable, especially it's so stressful right now. And everything's so uncertain. And the last thing anybody needs to worry about is what they're going to wear.
That thing that you do by being out there, even though it's been stopped, it didn't stop you. And it didn't stop you noticing. And now we just re-met after this shutdown for a while. And that's why I thought we would have this conversation. Where did Melanie go? And where did the bus go? And where did all of us going out? And we've just made an adjustment here in town where we were able to appear and actually go with new protocols and reacquaint ourselves with our artisans in the area, because artisans depend on this. So I guess my question is, you know, artisans, what this has affected them. What have you seen from the ground that you can just tell us how we're going to make that adjustment?
Well, it's all about adapting, right? And yes, all of my friends are musicians mostly and artists and creatives, and it's been really interesting to see people either handling it and embracing this, or they're not. And I've seen a few, you know, sides where there's moments when we all have our moments, and some people are more vocal about it on social media than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable. We all need to support each other. And how do we support each other best is by expressing ourselves. And so I've witnessed a lot of musicians really kind of embrace it and come out with some amazing, work, which I've really enjoyed and admired, because there's not really much else to do. I mean, and so you've got to take this moment. I think it's a pause, and I almost think it's a blessing, because if you don't like yourself and you're not able to enjoy your own company, then you're no good to anybody, I don't think.
It's like there was a runaway train that we were on, and then we've had to get off on all these stops. And whether we get back on that runaway train or maybe get on a slower train.
It's so true. And I've really been, you know, contemplating the fate of the bus shop, because I don't know how long it will take for us to get back to whatever the norm was, or if that will be our norm again. Is what's the model going to look like in 6 months or a year? And God, I've already been doing this for 8 years. And I love it. I love the outlet that it provides me so that I can connect with people. And I'm proud to, you know, curate an interesting emporium, if you will, mm-hmm. at these events.
Well, here's a challenge, because you sound like you want to get on it again. When we go into certain clothing stores and individual makers, they would only allow my wife to try on so many clothes, and then they would put them in the back and steam clean them before they could go back out on the rack. Now, for somebody like yourself that has one ofs or two ofs, certain sizes, you don't travel with a whole giant store. You have a lot of individual pieces. Those protocols that are now being put in place, you know,
how would that work for me?
How does this work for you?
I eliminated the whole factor of I non-opt my bus this season when it came time to renew my insurances. I always renew right before Butter and Egg Day, mm-hmm. and so April really hurts me with yeah. taxes and just financially to sure. get the whole year going. It's expensive. I have to have not one, but two policies on the bus. I have a trip and fall, you know, my liability, general yeah. liability. And then yeah. I have my vehicular auto, my commercial auto policy. And it's expensive. It's a bus. It's a big machine that I drive. You know, it's like, and, you know, thank God I've never had any accidents. And I'm comfortable. I like driving the bus. I love it. But I non-opted. That was a choice I made. And so it's been in my driveway this whole time. And I wasn't comfortable at all pushing my goods right now during this. I felt like it was non-essential. Just it was actually literally non-essential.
Interesting.
And I felt yeah. in my soul that that's not what was necessary yeah. at all. And so I was trying to figure out, well, what could I do? You know, I kind of like to sit back and take it in and assess before I try to not be very spontaneous. I mean, I'll be spontaneous on some things, but, you know, on matters of the heart, I really have to put a lot of thought into it. And somehow I figured out that, you know, maybe I could do smudge bundles mm-hmm. at farmers markets. It's yeah. a plant.
Right.
You know, and so I started to get really super creative, and I've been enjoying making things again. Like, you know, I make the jewelry, mm-hmm. but I've been doing perfumes, hand-blended perfumes, fragrance oils, and housing them in these cool pharmaceutical bottles that are vintage and tying in with the antiquing I'm doing these days. And
it's still your style, which it's unique that you can still keep that focus and the personality of your work. So this change that you're going through, it's really a reflection of the times, but the perfume and the bundles, I noticed that in your space. So it's a little bit more ethereal.
It's more in line with, you know, healing. Just how can we heal? How can we survive this? And is a shirt going to make you feel that much better? Mm-hmm. No, probably not. Maybe instantaneously, maybe that instant gratification, which a lot of people would buy as a cover to deal with a deeper calling, you know. And I feel like, you know, smudge bundles and smudging the house, doing the smudge dance is really kind of a routine that could become it's manifesting a change intentionally.
You're focusing on a positive, whereas there has been a climate of fear around us. That positive that you just mentioned, how do we grasp that? It's not just, like you said, things. It's not monetary. Do you think we all have that ability in us?
I think we should. I think we should look at the silver lining. I mean, I'm scared to death about yeah. what's going to transpire in my lifetime. I've never, ever seen anything like this, and I don't know what the future is going to hold. But if I were to live in that constant state of fear and unknown, I would be sick. Mm-hmm. I would be sick inside out. And I know that life is short, and I don't want to live my final days being afraid. Mm-hmm. I want to enjoy the moments that I have before me. And, you know, I am so blessed to have my grandchildren and my daughter in my life and living with me. And we have spent so much good time together. I'd be off running, busy, go, 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 you know, and to have my grandbabies, you know, every morning knock on the door, you know, and like, Grandma, you know, and it's just
so family has meant a lot.
It's been,
you know,
lovely.
If we were to talk to your 102-year-old grandmother, she probably doesn't turn the news on, so she doesn't get the buzz. She's probably just enjoying life to its fullest every single moment of every single day. And that's kind of where we're at here in this conversation, where we're enjoying every moment. We're enjoying this moment. And that pause in time has allowed us to do that.
Really has.
Yeah.
And my grandma would say, well, you can't take it with you. You know, you can't take any of this with
Amen.
You. You know, you really can't. And, you know, I need to call her. I need to call grandma.
You know? Yeah. My mom's 89, almost 90. And I have to force myself not to call her every day because I want to know she's in Boston. Getting on a plane and going to visit her, which would have been four times a year.
Yeah.
It's a Zoom call just doesn't do it.
Yeah. It is hard. You know, my grandma now lives in Texas. And so I miss her.
Yeah.
And I just miss her outlook. She's just fun. She's just fun. And she seems like she has enjoyed her life. And she's still going strong. She just had a pacemaker put in.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm like, wow.
Another 100 years.
Oh, unbelievable. You know? So
family, you mentioned family. Family is important to you. How it affects your family? It's brought your family even closer together.
Well, okay. For instance, my daughter, I'm going to give her a plug.
Go ahead.
Check her out on Instagram. It's spirit.and.roots. Spirit and Roots.
Mm-hmm.
She's gotten into succulents, and she's been making these amazing arrangements. And my grandmother had a green thumb. My mom has a green thumb. Not so much. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good now.
Well, you can tie sage bundles.
I can.
There you go.
You know, you can't be great at everything, and I'm getting a lot better. I now spend the time to make sure the plants are watered, but my mom would actually sometimes come over and water my plants on my porch. I'm like, get off my porch. You don't water your own plants. But it's funny. You know, because I was always going, going, going. And now I'm not going. I'm still busy. I still feel pretty busy and productive, but my daughter and I have started, we teamed up and we would do combos like sage and succulents, and mm-hmm. we've been working together. And so we've got this whole beautiful situation in the backyard where she's got pretty much like a greenhouse going on. She's propagating the succulents. And so it's been really fun to watch her create this business during this time. And again, it's doing something that is
positive.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And so it just becomes natural. And so then the little girls, I have two granddaughters. Did I tell you that?
Yeah. I think if you go to your Instagram, they really take up a lot of you.
I know. I love them so much. But now they're like making little flower stations, and they're bundling little flowers, and they're seeing how it's done. I think we're providing them with a good, you know, perspective on the ability to be, you know, like I'll do some of the farmers markets that I've been doing lately, and we bring them sometimes. Like Ange will do the succulents, and I'll do my combo booth, and the girls will have a little table, and they've bundled up, they've gone around like little fairy girls and gathered little flowers and tied them, and they're selling little flower bundles. You know, it's just darling.
For people that can't do those farmer things that we're so lucky here in Northern California, what do you think is going to happen during the winter, during the rainy and the...
You had know. To bring it up. I really don't know what the hell we're going to do.
Well, you have your pop-up and your tents and the whole thing. It's not the same.
You know, some of these markets are year-round.
Right.
And I've weathered some storms. I've done some events
literally
in the rain. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I did this one last year. We all did. And we just looked at ourselves like, what the hell were we thinking? Why are we even here? It's torrential downpours.
Tsunami.
The tents are flying. But I still showed up. You know, half the battle is showing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been working hard, and I've been saving up. And, you know, thank God I don't have all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah. So you're making a change. You're looking at the future. The future is bright, which is wonderful. More words of wisdom. What would you tell the other goddesses and the other gals out there and the other families that are just meeting the challenge and moving into, we're closing out the year, much the same as we started.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't already, maybe it's time to do those things you've always wanted to do.
Wonderful.
You know, like, yeah. We've got this time. If you've wanted to paint, paint. If you want to make, make. You know, whatever it is that you've always wanted to do, do it. You know, we're not getting any older.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
You know, all we have is time.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
So I think people should just try. Keep going. You got to keep going. And if something you're doing isn't working, then do something different. You've got to adapt.
Melanie, you are a spark. I'm telling you. And we started out crying, and now we're ending out with tears of joy.
Aw, you're sweet.
And I really appreciate you coming on The Creatives.
Thanks.
You are truly a creative. And
thanks for having me.
Follow Melanie and her bohemian bus of fun on Instagram at Bus Shop. And don't forget, shop is spelled S-H-O-P-P-E. The Creatives is produced and hosted by me, Dana Porches, from beautiful Sonoma County, California. Audio production by Audio Ephemera. Be sure to check out our website, where you can find all of our show notes, social media links, and how you can support the podcast. Visit thecreatives.world. Bye-bye now. Next time on The Creatives.
Again, we do a lot of finger pointing, but I would suggest that when we do some of that finger pointing, we should draw circles in the air, because we should always point back to ourselves and ask, well, how have I been susceptible to what's going on in this situation? We're back to the four tenets of critical thought, right? Am I being autonomous and independent? Am I being respectful and humble? Am I interested in learning, not just teaching? Am I interested in listening, not just talking? Probably a question you're wondering right now, right, Dana?
And you can see the smoke coming out of my ears.